You have something I want.
I can lead you to one of their kind. But first, we need your help on our mission.
The Darksaber. Does he have it?
We have exhausted our initial supply of blood. I highly doubt we'll find a donor with a higher M count, though.
Go to the planet Tython. There you will find the ancient ruins of a temple that has a strong connection to the Force. Place Grogu on the Seeing Stone at the top of the mountain. If he reaches out through the Force, there's a chance a Jedi may sense his presence and come searching for him. Then again, there aren't many Jedi left.
Previously on The Mandalorian, a blast from the sky destroys the Razor Crest. Dark troopers descend from Gideon's light cruiser and steal the child from the Seeing Stone. In the cell, the Moff activates his Darksaber.
You may think you have some idea what you are in possession of, but you do not. It means more to me than you will ever know.
Boba's ship chases an Imperial shuttle through the starry void of space. On board, Dr. Pershing sits in the cockpit behind the pilot and co-pilot. They take evasive maneuvers, but Boba Fett stays hot on their tail, firing his laser cannons.
What's going on? Who are they?
I suggest you shut your mouth. This isn't your laboratory.
With his helmet's rangefinder stock tilted down in front of his T-shaped visor, the bounty hunter lines them up on his ship's targeting display. He nails the shuttle with a single blast from his ion cannons, causing St. Elmo's fire to flicker around the Imperial craft. The pilots recoil from their controls to avoid getting electrocuted.
They hit us with an ion cannon. Avionics are down. Comms are down.
Lower your shields. Disengage all transponders. Prepare for boarding.
They're pirates. Shouldn't we fight?
I don't have a death wish. Do you?
Outside the windshield, they see Boba's ship breaching into view from an uncomfortably close proximity. Dr. Pershing and the pilots look around in distress. They're jolted in their seats. The cockpit doors open behind them. The Mandalorian enters, pistol aimed. The Imperials all put their hands up submissively.
Before you make a mistake, this is Dr. Pershing.
We've met. Is the kid alive?
Yes. He's on the cruiser.
The pilot puts a gun to his head. Kara enters.
Stay back, dropper.
Easy now, okay? I'm not with him. We can work something.
The pilot shoots his co-pilot.
Drop your weapon.
No. Now you listen to me. This is a top-tier target of the New Republic. This is a clone engineer. And if they find out that he's dead, because of you, you're gonna wish you never left Alderaan. I saw the tear. You wanna know what else I saw? I saw your planet destroyed. I was on the Death Star.
Which one?
You think you're funny? Do you know how many millions were killed on those bases?
Drop your blaster.
As the galaxy cheered,
last chance.
Destroying your planet was a small price to pay to rid the galaxy of terrorism.
A bolt grazes the doctor's cheek on its way to dropping the pilot. As Kara lowers her blaster and walks out, Mando turns to watch her go. A title appears over black, The Mandalorian. Chapter 16, The Rescue. Two moons hover in orbit of a tawny-colored planet. Boba's ship flies past our view with its three rear engines aglow and swoops down for entry into the planet's atmosphere. Closer to the surface, a smokestack standing higher than the clouds belches pale exhaust into the sky. Boba's ship appears as a rapidly approaching dot, then streaks past, leaving a contrail as it navigates around a number of massive industrial plants. Pivoting its hull into horizontal landing position, it settles down in a docking row between two other parked ships. One of them is a fighter craft with dual forward-facing laser cannons and a pair of broad, angular wings that are pointed upright like twin spires. At the end of the row sits a bulbous compound with people coming and going. Two figures disembark from Boba's ship. Later, Mando and Boba Fett enter a truck-stop-style eatery suited up in their full Beskar armor. The interplanetary customers eye them suspiciously. At a far table, they spot Bo-Katan and her female clanmate dressed in their Mandalorian armor, enjoying a meal with their helmets off. All eyes stay glued to Boba and Mando as they make their way over. They pause in front of the table, the two parties staring each other down.
I need your help.
Not all Mandalorians are bounty hunters. Some of us serve a higher purpose.
They took the child.
Who?
Moff Gideon.
You'll never find him.
The Mandalorians go back to their meal.
We don't need these two. Let's get out of here.
You are not a Mandalorian.
Never said I was.
I didn't know sidekicks were allowed to talk.
All of that isn't the Quacta calling the Stifling slimy.
She rises.
Easy there, little one.
You'll be talking through the window of a Bacta tank. All right, easy. Save it for the imps.
Bo's clanmate backs down.
We have his coordinates.
You can bring me to Moff Gideon.
The Moff has a light cruiser. It could be helpful in your effort to regain Mandalore.
You gotta be kidding me. Mandalore? The Empire turned that planet to glass.
You are a disgrace to your armor.
This armor belonged to my father.
Don't you mean your donor?
Careful, Princess.
You are a clone. I've heard your voice thousands of times.
Mine might be the last one you hear.
Her clanmate throws two punches, but Boba catches her, throws her through a table, and lassos her with a wrist cable. Giving it a yank, she pulls him in and delivers a knee to the unarmored part of his abdomen. With Boba in a headlock, she fires a burst from her jetpack and uses the momentum to flip him into another table. They both ignite their flamethrowers.
Enough, both of you! If we had shown half that spine to the Empire, we would have never lost our planet.
Boba stands up, shifting his weight from foot to foot as he and his rival keep an eye on each other.
We will help you. In exchange, we will keep that ship to retake Mandalore. If you should manage to finish your quest, I would have you reconsider joining our efforts. Mandalorians have been in exile from our homeworld for far too long.
Fair enough.
One more thing. Gideon has a weapon that once belonged to me. It is an ancient weapon that can cut through anything.
Almost anything.
It cannot cut through pure Beskar. I will kill the Moff and retake what is rightfully mine. With the Darksaber restored to me, Mandalore will finally be within reach.
Help me rescue the child, and you can have whatever you want. He is my only priority.
The scene wipes away to reveal the Imperial shuttle now parked alongside Boba's ship and the tall winged fighter craft. On Boba's ship, Dr. Pershing sits handcuffed. Bo calls up a hologram.
This is Moff Gideon's Imperial light cruiser. In the old days, it would carry a crew of several hundred. Now it operates with a tiny fraction of that.
Your assessment is misleading.
Oh, great. An objective opinion.
This isn't subterfuge, I assure you.
Let him speak.
There's a garrison of dark troopers on board. They're the ones who abducted the child.
How many troopers do they have armed in those suits?
These are third-generation design. They are no longer suits. The human inside was the final weakness to be solved. They're droids.
Where are they bivouacked?
Pershing zooms in on a schematic of the ship.
They're held in cold storage in this cargo bay. They draw too much power to be kept at ready.
How long to power up?
A few minutes, perhaps.
Where's the child being held?
This is the brig. He's being held here under armed guard.
Very well. We split into two parties.
I go alone.
Fine. Phase one, Lambda Shuttle issues a distress call. Two, we come in hot and emergency land at the mouth of the fighter launch tube, cutting off any potential interceptors. Koska, Fennec, Dune, myself disembark with maximum initiative. Once we've neutralized the launch bay, we make our way through these tandem decks in a penetration maneuver.
And me?
We'll be misdirection. Once we draw a crowd, You slip through the shadows. Get the kid.
Those dark troopers, they're gonna be a real skink in the scud pie.
Their bay is on the way to the brig. Can he make it there before they deploy?
It's possible.
Here, take his code cylinder and seal off their holding bay. Anyone else, we can handle.
We'll meet at the bridge.
An image of Boba's ship Iris is in as it barrels through hyperspace. In front of it flies the Imperial Lambda shuttle. On board, Bo sits at the helm with most of the others along for the ride.
Moff Gideon is mine. Got it?
He's ex-ISB. He's got a lot of information. I need him alive.
I don't care what happens to him as long as he surrenders to me.
Prepare to exit jump space.
Copy that. Get the hell out of there as soon as they clear us to dock. And your shots have to look convincing.
Power up those shields, Princess. I'll put on a good show.
Watch out for those deck cannons.
Don't worry about me. Just be careful in there.
Exiting hyperspace in 3, 2, 1.
As both ships pop out of hyperspace, Boba's ship immediately opens fire on the shuttle, which takes evasive action. The dogfight takes them toward the large Imperial light cruiser, where the communications officer sits at her station on the bridge.
This is Lambda Shuttle 2743, requesting emergency docking.
In space, the shuttle comes whizzing past our view with Boba's ship in hot pursuit. Each cannon blast narrowly misses its target.
Repeat, requesting emergency docking. We are under attack.
Copy, Lambda Shuttle. Request received.
Launch TIE fighters.
Stay clear of launch tube. Deploying fighter squadron.
The crew aboard the shuttle swap tense looks. Hangar doors open on the Imperial cruiser, exposing the launch tube. One by one, TIE fighters suspended on tracks get dragged into position. The pilot inside the lead ship stares down the long tube toward the mouth of the opening. He punches his engine, launching down the tunnel and out between the cruiser's twin forward spars. Still evading Boba's ship, the Lambda makes an arc toward the large Imperial ship. The TIE fighter banks to avoid collision. A second fighter launches from the tube. Bo levels out the shuttle, headed directly for the opening, and causes the second pilot to swerve out of the way as well.
Request denied. Please clear launch tube until fighters deploy.
Negative! We are under attack!
Boba's ship comes roaring after the Lambda with both TIE fighters on its tail.
Clear launch tube immediately.
We have it. We have it.
Hangar control, stand down!
Whoa. The next hanging fighter slams to a halt on its track. The deck officer sees the dogfight coming in hot. Boba cranks his yoke, drawing away the two fighters as the shuttle begins holding up its wings. Bo tries to steady her approach for the tight gap between spars. Moff Gideon watches from the bridge. The compacted shuttle scrapes down the floor of the launch tube in a flurry of sparks. Boba jerks back on his yoke as the cruiser's deck cannons open fire on him. The shuttle skids to a halt within the launch tube. Boba performs a barrel roll, blowing away both pursuing TIE fighters before returning to hyperspace. As the shuttle's ramp opens in a fog of steam, a squad of stormtroopers comes running over.
Clear the launch tube! What are you doing? Get that thing out of here!
The occupants emerge with guns blazing, taking them by surprise. Bo's clanmate, Casca, jump jets into a flying kick as she leads the charge. The infiltrators overwhelm the deck crew, while Moff Gideon listens from the bridge.
Activate the dark troopers.
An officer plugs in a code cylinder and draws down on a switch. In the dark trooper bay, red lights power on above the rows of cubicles. Vapor wafts around droids' mechanical joints. A row of four diodes activates on a chest plate. One of the troopers raises its head, its triangular red eyes glowing to life. Back in the launch tube, the clearing smoke reveals Mando descending the ramp from the shuttle. With his blaster in hand and the Beskar spear on his back, he picks his way past the bodies littering the deck. Head on a swivel, he skulks through the shadows with his guard up at every turn. He proceeds toward the row of TIE fighters hanging dormant in their launch track along the far wall. Elsewhere aboard the cruiser, Casca rounds a corner with her gun at the ready.
All clear. A little too clear. Keep your eyes open.
With Kara and Fennec guarding the rear, the four warriors move across a catwalk that looks down upon an open hatch leading directly to outer space. As stormtroopers jump out from hiding up ahead, both Mandalorians dive apart on their jetpacks, leaving the two sharpshooters to pick them off. One trooper goes tumbling into the void.
Freeze!
drop your weapons.
Another garrison has them outgunned from behind. The two Mandalorians fly up from either side of the catwalk and dispatch the stormtroopers with brutal efficiency. Their path now clear, the four-woman team keeps moving. Meanwhile, Mando sidles along a wall and peeks cautiously around the corner to make sure the coast is clear. With his blaster out in front of him, he sneaks down the hexagonal corridor.
We're heading to the freighter now.
Ducking into an alcove, he watches two stormtroopers run by. After they've passed, he comes out from hiding and goes the other way. In the dark trooper bay, hydraulic hoses detach violently from the powered-up droid, spewing vapor around their shiny black armor. Control panels glow through the haze. A view down the central aisle shows lights cycling around the rows of cubicles. A trooper's red eyes shine menacingly. Back with the four warriors, Kara and Fennec survey a large junction stacked high with equipment crates and rife with shadowy nooks.
Cover me.
We got your back.
The sleek assassin moves forward, firing at stormtroopers who lurk among the heaps of cargo. She takes one on with a couple of kicks before shooting him in the chest. Bo encounters another and stuns him with an elbow to the helmet before finishing him off. Fennec fells one trooper with a roundhouse kick and a lethal blast at point-blank range, then dispatches another with a headshot through a narrow, diamond-shaped gap between stacked crates. She ducks back, avoiding a blaster bolt by mere inches. Kara comes out and guns down her would-be killer. Together, the two of them simultaneously finish off a pair of charging troopers and lead the way down another hall. Bo shoots the leader of a platoon that's following them. Meanwhile, the dark troopers stride forth from their cubicles, marching in perfect lockstep. With synchronous movements, they swivel their torsos and draw blaster rifles from their hips. Now, Mando skulks to another intersection. He hangs back, avoiding detection from a passing protocol droid. He watches a trio of stormtroopers rush by before proceeding. Meanwhile, Kara moves swiftly down a hallway, shooting at troopers with her heavy blaster.
My gun's jammed! I got you!
Fennec lays down suppressive fire at the encroaching enemy. Grabbing her weapon by the muzzle, Kara swings it like a club and takes down a couple more troopers. Fennec delivers the final coup de grace to the last one standing.
Thanks.
Kara keeps working on unjamming her gun as they all board an elevator. Back in the dark trooper bay, the robot army moves out, advancing toward the entrance. Mando comes around a corner and sees the control panel on the outside. As he takes out his code cylinder, the doors slide open.
No. No!
He hurries and jams the cylinder into a slot on the panel, then fires a few blasts inside as the doors start to shut again. A pair of metallic hands catches them before they can seal, though, and muscles them back open. The dark trooper punches Mando and sends him skidding into a wall. As it comes out, the door seals shut behind it, leaving the others trapped inside. Mando blasts at the enemy, but his rounds do nothing to stop its advance. The trooper wrenches his arm and seizes him by the throat. Lifting him off his feet, it mechanically winds up its fist and starts pounding him in the helmet. Mando's head is pinned to the wall behind him, but the Beskar holds firm without so much as a dent. The other dark troopers start punching the windows in the doors, creating spiderweb cracks. The escapee's next blow causes Mando's helmet to burst a steam pipe. In the resulting fog, he sparks his flamethrower and scorches his foe, causing fire to spread throughout the crevices between its mechanical plates and joints. The trooper flings him toward the bay. Mando looks up at the cracks in the windows, then reaches for a lever in the control panel, but the droid grabs him before he can pull it and spins him across the floor. As he tries to get up, it kicks him farther away, then starts blasting. Mando launches his whistling birds. The mini explosions rock the droid in its tracks, but fail to stop its advance. With the Beskar spear, Mando lances the trooper under the chin. As he wrenches it free, the robot finally collapses, its head nearly cleaved off. Mando runs for the control panel and pulls the switch. The outer bay door opens, sucking all the dark troopers out into space.
Ferrick!
In the elevator, Kara fiddles with her gun.
Son of a mudscuffer!
Are you sure you don't need any help?
I think that did it.
Excuse me.
As the door opens, she comes out shooting. The others follow her lead as she charges down the hallway to the bridge, clearing out all the stormtroopers who lie in their path. They exchange fire with the bridge crew, but overcome them without much trouble. Casca runs to a control console and removes a code cylinder from a port.
Weapon system disarmed.
Bo holsters her two blasters.
Where's Gideon?
In a corridor, Mando waylays two stormtrooper guards with a Beskar spear. He then uses the rod to grab one of them in a chokehold and lift him off his feet. Dumping the body on the floor, he returns the spear to a slot on his back. He inserts his code cylinder in a panel and hits a button. A door opens to reveal Moff Gideon holding the darksaber over Grogu in his cell. The child looks up despondently, his wrists bound in glowing shackles. Mando enters cautiously.
Drop the blaster.
Moff Gideon angles the darksaber a little closer to the child.
Slowly.
The Mandalorian complies.
Now kick it over to me. Very nice.
Give me the kid.
The kid is just fine where he is.
He waves the darksaber over Grogu's little green head.
Mesmerizing, isn't it? Used to belong to Bo-Katan. Yes, I know you've been traveling with Bo-Katan. A friendly piece of advice. Assume that I know everything. Like the fact that your wrist launcher has fired its one and only salvo.
Where is this going?
This is where it's going. I'm guessing that Bo-Katan and her boarding party have arrived at the bridge, seeking me, or more accurately, this.
He shakes the blade.
But I'm not there. And I imagine that they've killed everyone on the bridge, being the murderous savages that they are. And now, they're beginning to panic. You see, she wants this. Do you know why? Because it brings power. Whoever wields this sword has the right to lay claim to the Mandalorian throne.
You keep it. I just want the kid.
Grogu looks up innocently at Moff Gideon with his wide black eyes.
Very well.
He deactivates the darksaber.
I've already got what I want from him. His blood. All I wanted was to study his blood. This child is extremely gifted and has been blessed with rare properties that have the potential to bring order back to the galaxy.
Mando levels his gaze on the child. Grogu tilts his head curiously, his big pointy ears twitching.
I see your bond with him.
The Mandalorian lifts his visored helmet to stare at Moff Gideon.
Take him. But you will leave my ship immediately, and we will go our separate ways.
The bounty hunter approaches cautiously. Gideon steps aside, allowing him to cross to the child. As Mando reaches for Grogu, the Moff strikes with his saber. The Mandalorian parries with his forearm bracers, sparks flying with each clash against the Beskar armor. Gideon drives him from the cell and out into the hallway. As he slashes low, Mando ducks it and maneuvers out of range in one fluid motion. He draws the Beskar spear from his back. Twirling it in his grip, he blocks more strikes from the blade. The two weapons lock in a stalemate. In another clash of blade and Beskar, the darksaber stabs into a wall beside Mando. Pressing forward, Gideon slices through it like butter as he forces his opponent backwards. Mando kicks his spear for momentum, but the Moff successfully parries. The Mandalorian lassos him with his grappling cable, which Gideon promptly slices his way out of. The Moff swings again, and Mando uses his gauntlet to deflect. Gideon grabs hold of the spear as it attempts to stab at him, but the Mandalorian drives him back and kicks him off balance into a wall where he disarms him of his darksaber. Mando points the tip of his weapon at his opponent's throat.
You're sparing my life. Well, this should be interesting.
After a fleeting smile, Gideon stares darkly at his enemy. Now on the bridge, Bo stands centered before a picture window with her hands clasped behind her back. She turns to see the door opening and Gideon being forced inside, wearing the shackles. Following, Mando holds Grogu in one arm and brandishes the darksaber in the other. Bo takes a few steps forward, staring with concern. Everyone convenes near the comms table.
What happened?
He brought him in alive, that's what happened. And now the New Republic's gonna have to double the payment.
That's not what she's talking about.
He smirks at Bo.
Why don't you kill him now? and take it.
Kara shoves him to the ground, but it doesn't remove the smile from his face.
It's yours now.
What is?
The Darksaber. It belongs to you.
Bo's troubled eyes shift around the bridge. Mando turns off the blade and offers it to her.
Now, it belongs to her.
She can't take it. It must be won in battle. In order for her to wield the Darksaber again, she would need to defeat you in combat.
I yield. It's yours.
Oh, no. It doesn't work that way. The Darksaber doesn't have power. The story does. Without that blade, she's a pretender to the throne.
Bo shoots them off a contemptuous sidelong glare.
He's right.
Come on, just take it.
They all look to a pair of security monitors highlighting a section of the ship.
Well, perhaps she'll get another crack at it.
The ray shields have been breached. We're being boarded.
How many life forms?
None.
In the open bay, a few of the Dark Troopers return, landing in formation on their jet boots. In perfect synchrony, they all rise up from a crouched position and draw their blasters. A view from space shows the rest of them flying back into the ship.
You're about to face off with the Dark Troopers. You had your hands full with one. Let's see how you do against a platoon.
10 of the troopers fly up through the open hatch toward the catwalk. Coming together in midair, they drop as a single unit into a deep crouch on the floor. Straightening, they all move out, their mechanical joints swiveling with precision as they march. All throughout the ship, the Dark Troopers advance in a singular direction. A security monitor shows the Horde on the move.
They're headed this way.
Kara shoves Moff Gideon back to the floor, where he surreptitiously folds his cape over a fallen blaster. Meanwhile, a contingent of Dark Troopers reaches the cargo bay. Back on the bridge, Casca toggles between different feeds to monitor their positions. Stomping over the bodies of fallen stormtroopers, the Dark Troopers come to an abrupt stop. Now, Mando sets Grogu down behind a control console.
Don't worry, kid. I'm gonna get you out of here.
As his guardian walks away, the child shifts his groggy eyes and lowers his head. In the cargo bay, the Dark Troopers proceed ahead in two columns, their shiny metallic boots stomping in rhythm. Their red eyes glow ominously from the downward-facing triangles in their helmets. Side-by-side monitors show them marching to and fro.
Seal the blast door!
Casca pounds a button on her console, causing the steel reinforcements to fold shut on either side of the bulkhead. The first few Dark Troopers arrive outside the hallway just in time to see them close. Observing them on a monitor, Casca grabs her helmet.
They're here.
Fennec hefts up a dead stormtrooper's weapon. Bo and Casca dutifully put on their individualized Beskar helmets and draw their pistols. Our view closes in on the blast doors. On the other side, the Dark Troopers tuck their blasters away into their built-in thigh holsters and all stand poised. The two in the front swivel their joints and begin pummeling the metal doors with their fists, causing sparks to fly with each collision. While Mando and his allies stand ready for them on the bridge, Moff Gideon smirks. Kara adjusts her grip on her heavy blaster rifle. Bo points both her pistols at the blast doors.
You have an impressive fire team protecting you.
The thick metal begins to dent from the pummeling.
But I think we all know, after a valiant stand, everyone in this room will be dead. But me and the child.
Mando tightens his grip on his blaster. As the staccato barrage continues, the inside of the door begins to deform. Fennec stands firm with a stormtrooper's double-barreled weapon. Casca sights down her pistol at the door. Moff Gideon grins maniacally. The two sleeves of the outer blast door begin to buckle apart. Everyone stands frozen. Looking back at the windows, they see a fighter craft doing a flyby of the Imperial cruiser.
Next wing. One X-Wing? Great. We're saved.
Incoming craft, identify yourself.
On a security monitor, Bo watches the X-Wing cruise inside a docking bay. Grogu's ears perk up and he turns his head. His eyes gaze off with a ponderous expression. On the other side of the blast doors, the two lead dark troopers each give one last punch, then retract their fists and brandish their rifles. A scowling Gideon eyes the buckled steel.
Why did they stop?
Bo watches on the security monitor as the dark troopers all hoist up their rifles. Gideon wears an unsettled look. Bo sees a figure in a dark hooded cloak striding swiftly up a corridor. Her helmeted head tilts curiously. The security feed flickers as it shows the mysterious newcomer using a lightsaber to deflect blasts and cut through the dark troopers. Mando looks back at her over his shoulder. Gideon's eyes grow alarmed. On the catwalk over the open hatch, a green lightsaber comes into view, parrying blaster bolts. The Jedi advances, easily defeating dark troopers with slashes and force throws. Grogu sits mesmerized. Monitors show two different angles of the Jedi slicing a dark trooper right down the middle. Wielding the lightsaber in a black-gloved hand, the figure proceeds through the cargo area. Bo watches as the Jedi encounters more dark troopers and uses the Force to pin one of them between crates. The green saber then cuts another one off at the knees before decapitating it. Finishing off the pinned trooper, the Jedi proceeds to the next corridor. Moff Gideon springs up and shoots Bo with a concealed blaster. She goes down, leaving a clear shot to the child. Mando dives in and absorbs the blasts with his armor.
Drop it!
The others have Gideon covered. Seeing guns pointed at him from every direction, he puts his blaster under his chin. But Kara bats it away and knocks him out with the butt of her rifle. Meanwhile, a long view down the corridor shows the Jedi vanquishing another squad of dark troopers with ease. Watching the action, Grogu waddles up and presses a three-fingered hand against the security monitor. Mando drags himself up beside the child. The security monitor shows the lightsaber deactivating as the Jedi boards the elevator. Meanwhile, eyes glowing with fearsome red, the dark troopers outside the bridge all swivel on their heels in unison, then march as a single unit to intercept the invader. Grogu keeps his hand pressed to the monitor as he watches intently. The dark troopers come to a halt just in front of the elevator. They stand waiting as hexagonal lights flash across its floor display above. Grogu and Mando watch the security monitor in rapt attention, while Kara and Fennec keep their weapons aimed at the blast doors. The flashing lights come to a stop. A dark trooper cocks its head. The instant the door opens, the Jedi comes out swinging. In smooth, arcing motions, the green lightsaber sends blaster bolts ricocheting back to their sources while simultaneously cutting the enemy to shreds. Pausing momentarily, the Jedi extends an ungloved hand to throw a trooper off its feet with the Force. A decapitated metal head flies through the air and knocks out one of the fearsome droids. Reaching the final two enemies, the Jedi strikes a jagged gash down one of their torsos, then uses the Force to freeze the other in its tracks with its blaster firing off target. Its black armor begins to crumple and spark until it finally collapses in a heap. As the Jedi steps out of view of the security camera, Grogu turns away from the monitor and blinks at his friend. Staring back at him, Mando watches him tilt his little green head. He picks the child up.
Open the doors.
The others stay put with their guns pointed at the blast doors.
I said open the doors.
Are you crazy?
He sets the child down at a control station and presses a button. The dented blast doors fold open to reveal the green glow of the lightsaber amid a fog of smoke. The black-clad Jedi steps forth, his silver belt buckle glinting in the light. Turning off his saber, he pulls back his bulky hood to reveal his face. It's Luke Skywalker, his boyish face looking much as it was the day the Empire was defeated. Grogu peeks out from behind his chair and blinks his eyes at the mysterious Jedi.
Are you a Jedi?
I am.
He stands in a serene pose with his left hand folded over the wrist of his gloved right hand. Turning his eyes to Grogu, he extends his ungloved hand.
Come, little one.
The child cocks his head uncertainly at the Mandalorian. Mando turns to Luke.
He doesn't want to go with you.
He wants your permission. He is strong with the Force, but talent without training is nothing. I will give my life to protect the child, but he will not be safe until he masters his abilities.
The child looks up sadly at the Mandalorian. Grogu's ears twitch as Mando lifts him up off the chair.
Hey, go on. That's who you belong with. He's one of your kind.
The child reaches out to his friend.
I'll see you again. I promise.
His tiny, clawed hand strokes the Mandalorian's Beskar helmet. As Grogu withdraws his hand, Mando reaches up and takes hold of his face shield. He removes the helmet entirely, exposing his somber, sweat-stained face to the child. Grogu cocks his head side to side, taking in the appearance of his friend for the first time. He reaches out again and gently strokes Mando's chin. The Mandalorian shuts his eyes for a moment, basking in the child's touch, then flashes him a faint smile.
All right, pal. It's time to go.
Grogu's ears sag with a sad expression.
Don't be afraid.
Mando nods to the child, then sets him down on the floor near his helmet. Grogu hangs onto his boot, gazing up at him dejectedly. R2-D2 rolls in and stops by Luke's side. Grogu turns around and faces the dome-headed astromech droid. He waddles forward curiously. R2 retracts his center leg inside a cylindrical body. Grogu's ears perk up as he studies the friendly droid. R2 pivots his body downward to face him more directly. R2 rocks back and forth on his legs. Luke and Mando exchange a nod. The droid swivels his head from his master back to the curious child. Grogu holds out his arms. Luke reaches down and scoops him up. Grogu tilts his head from side to side as he studies the youthful face of the Jedi from up close. The Jedi stares deeply into his eyes, then lifts his gaze to the Mandalorian.
May the Force be with you.
Mando remains stock still as the Jedi turns and walks off with the child, who gazes back at his protector from over Luke's shoulder. Holding back tears, Mando tightens his mouth into a bittersweet expression as he watches them go. His allies all stand frozen behind him, with the bodies of stormtroopers littering the floor. Grogu continues to look back as Luke slowly carries him toward the elevator. Mando's eyes stay locked on the child's as the distance between them grows. Kara blinks with a warm smile. Stepping aboard the elevator, Luke turns back around and holds Grogu to face the others as R2 wheels in beside them. Mando's brow furrows and his eyes glisten. With a serene smile, Grogu strokes Luke's black leather glove as he gazes warmly at the Mandalorian. Mando gives his little friend a nod. As the elevator closes, the picture cuts to black.
Thank you.
Now the twin suns shine in the sky above Tatooine. Our view sweeps across the desert to Jabba the Hutt's palace, perched atop a rocky canyon, the immense complex of curved towers standing out amid the remote landscape. Inside, two Gamorrean guards patrol past a fattened-up Bib Fortuna seated atop a throne on the dais. A Klatooinian advisor whispers to the new Twi'lek crime lord. Another Klatooinian leans in. A Twi'lek slave dancer sits sullenly at the edge of the dais.
Demuska!
A figure comes tumbling down the curved stairwell.
Icha McClinky!
One of the Gamorrean guards runs over with his battle axe to check it out. Seen only in shadow, an invader shoots him down. Another shot takes out one of the Klatooinians. Stepping into view, Fennec shoots down the rest of Bib's inner circle. Trying to break free, the slave dancer tugs desperately at her chain. Fennec shoulders her rifle again and blasts through it. She nods for the dancer to take off. Left alone with the crime lord, Fennec stalks in closer to the dais. Behind her, a second shadow appears on the wall, preceding Boba Fett as he comes down the stairs. Bib squints at the familiar bounty hunter as he draws closer, wielding his carbine rifle in both hands.
Boba!
Boba, I thought you were dead. I am so glad to see you. I had heard many rumors.
Boba blasts him, and Bib slumps over in his throne. The bounty hunter walks up a short flight of steps to the dais. Grabbing the Twi'lek's pale, corpulent body, he throws him out of the chair. Boba carefully props his carbine against one of its ornately carved arms, then takes his seat at the throne. Behind him, Fennec retrieves a glowing bottle of spatchka, then comes over and perches on the edge of the chair by his right hand. With her rifle braced on her free arm, she takes a swig. Our view pulls back from an archway that perfectly frames Boba and Fennec on the throne. Cut to black. Text appears, The Book of Boba Fett, coming December 2021. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Nicole Zanzarella and Mike DeBonis.